Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
Welcome back to CAF Chats. I'm Major Callie Curran. Today I'm joined by
Major Ling Rivera.
I'm excited for this episode. This is our first podcast together. We are the 82nd and 101st rivals, and, you know, we're kind of cut from the same cloth, and we're good friends. We've spent a great deal of time talking about this case in the office and, you know, just generally trying to wrap our minds around this case and what it means for the field. So our military justice friends out there, today we're discussing pleas and specifically providency of pleas. The case on deck today is United States versus Saul. And that addresses mens rea as applied to providency of guilty pleas. It addresses whether the reasonable inference doctrine applies during a providence inquiry. So there are some details here, so please bear with us, but let's first start with the background of the case.
Thank you, Callie, for having me here. Regarding the procedural history and the facts of this case involves Staff Sergeant Thomas M. Saul, United States Air Force. He was charged with several offenses, including willfully destroying property under Article 109 of the UCMJ. That charge stems from an alleged argument that he had with his wife at their residence in Oklahoma. During the argument, he allegedly slammed his hand on the windshield of a rental car, causing it to crack in a spider web pattern. The government charged him with willfully and wrongfully destroying the windshield.
Right. And in this case, the appellant pled guilty. And then on 15 April 2022, the military judge accepted the appellant's plea and sentenced him to a bad conduct discharge, confinement for 9 months, forfeiture of $1,000 pay per month for 9 months, reduction to the grade of E2, and a reprimand. The Air Force Court of Criminal Appeals affirmed the findings in the sentence. And then CAF granted review and reversed the AFCA's decision in part and returned the record to the Judge Advocate General of the Air Force. CAF's decision was issued on 21 July 2025.
CAF granted review on three issues, but I want to focus our attention on the first issue, which was whether a guilty plea for willful destruction of property under Article 109 of the UCMJ can be provident when appellant thrice told the military judge that he did not intend to damage the property, and that he was surprised that there was actual damage. The CAF applied an abuse of discretion standard in reviewing the military judge's acceptance of the guilty plea.
So for those unfamiliar, providency refers to whether a guilty plea is legally and factually sufficient. The controlling statute here is Article 45 of the UCMJ, and as I always say, we have to start with the statute, and as I guess Major James Barrett always says that as well.
Right? That's right.
That's right. So, and the relevant rule for court-martial is 910. We also have to remember U.S. v. CARE, which is the CAF case that coined the term the CARE inquiry. But essentially, the CARE inquiry refers to a colloquy that the military judge engages in with the accused to ensure that the plea is voluntary and that the accused understands the nature of his or her plea, its meaning and effect, and that there is a sufficient factual basis for the plea. So in summary, that the plea is factually and legally sufficient. I know this is sometimes confusing for civilian practitioners who are familiar with no contest pleas. That doesn't exist in the military justice system. So we have to remember that in military justice, there's no irregular pleas. There's no Alfred pleas. And I know, you know, we teach this to the basic course students that have practiced in the civilian world. That's kind of a surprise to them. But it's really crucial to understand just the baseline of Article 45 of the UCMJ. It makes very clear that there's really only two options, and that's kind of like a generalization, but there's really two options for pleas. And at the end of the day, the accused is going to plead guilty or not guilty.
So, Callie, in summary, we're talking only having two options, whether you plead guilty or not guilty. And if you want to plead guilty, you have to go through this process and you have to comply with Article 45. 45. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And an accused can plead, you know, to a lesser included offense or to an offense with exceptions and substitutions, et cetera. But no matter which way the accused pleads, there has to be a Providence inquiry to form the factual and legal basis that for the plea.
And that's exactly what happened in this case. That Sergeant Saul pled guilty to this charge. And the charge in question here specifically is the Article 109 violation, willfully destroying property. But during the Providence inquiry, he made several statements that raised doubts about whether his actions were truly willful. He said he did not intend to damage the windshield, that he was surprised when he saw the crack. And of course, this led the military judge to question whether or not the plea was provident.
Right. And that wouldn't have been an issue except for the fact that willfully is an element of the offense. So we have a specific intent offense here that was before the court. And so, Lynn, before we jump into the providency inquiry a little bit further, let's just discuss the charging options for a moment.
So, Kali, before we do that, I just want to preface what we're going to say with the fact that we do not have the original record of trial. Of course, we're looking this from the appellate level and what we have in the opinion and the briefs. But as we were reviewing different possible charging theories, and one of the things that we always talk about, try to make your life easier and only put on your charge sheet things that you can prove. And in this case, if you have a specific intent offense, you know you're going to have that extra step, right? You're going to have to prove that willfulness. Here, there's several other charging theories that might have been available to the government. For example, maybe an Article 128B, domestic violence, or maybe just a 128 simple assault.
Completely agree that we're looking at this from a different perspective than those that were in trial in this case. But yeah, it's important to, no matter what, pause and think about your charging decisions before preferring a case. So we'll circle back to that here in a bit, but let's just kind of pivot to what went wrong in this Providence inquiry.
In this particular case, the judge clearly flagged the mens rea, spent a lot of time talking about specific intent and going back and forth, trying to deal with the inconsistencies between the testimony of the accused during the providency inquiry and other statements that were made throughout, just to make sure that there was no issue with the mens rea and the specific intent.
Yeah, and the CAF notes that the military judge took a recess. He gave the parties opportunities to present their position. I think you can glean from the record that there was intentionality here and trying to make sure that the military judge was getting it right and that the parties were getting it right. He questioned the appellant at length, and the appellant agreed that striking the windshield could naturally have led to the damage. Like, he agreed that is a likely result of hitting it with the force that he hit the windshield with. And so the judge ultimately accepted the plea after questioning him and getting the accused to agree to that. So essentially, the military judge relied on a permissive inference, and that's really what's at issue here. A permissive inference is one that allows intent to be inferred from the natural and probable consequences of an action. So here, the natural and probable consequences of hitting a windshield with force and might and all of your strength, what could happen is that it could break.
And Kali, that is not something that is out of the ordinary. In specific intent offenses, we see it all the time that the way that you're going to be proving your intent is through circumstantial evidence. And the government is allowed to do that. You just have to be prepared to address that specific issue, and you need to present some evidence, even if it's circumstantial, to make sure that you're complying with the element of the offense.
Right. And that makes sense, because if we were at a contested court-martial, the accused has the right not to testify. And so the fact finder cannot read the mind of the accused to make a specific factual finding with regard to specific intent. So that all seems good to go if we just do the inference. Isn't that how this turns out, Lynn?
Well, the takeaway here in this specific case is that the permissive inference doctrine does not apply when the military judge is conducting a CARE inquiry to determine the factual and legal basis for the accused plea.
Oh, okay. So let's unpack that, because what we are saying here is that at a contested trial, the government could have presented the exact same evidence and the accused may have been found guilty. But because the accused voluntarily entered a plea of guilty, that same permissive inference does not apply. And so thus the military judge must resolve any inconsistencies and can't rely on that permissive inference.
And that's correct, Kali, because when an accused enters a plea of guilty in the military justice world, he or she waives the right to remain silent. In fact, they're put under oath and charged with truthfully answering the questions of the military judge.
That's right. So back to the procedural history here. On appeal, appellant argued that his guilty plea was improvident because his statements about not intending to damage the windshield conflicted with the requirement of willfulness, an element of the offense. And the CAF agreed in finding that the military judge failed to resolve this inconsistency at trial.
And I have to say, it's not because a failure to try to resolve the inconsistency.
Right.
I think it's very clear from the opinion that the judge attempted to resolve the inconsistency. But at the end of the day, the CAF came back saying that the military judge failed to resolve the inconsistency. And also, CAF emphasized that under Article 45 of the UCMJ, if an accused sets up a matter inconsistent with a guilty plea, the judge must either resolve the inconsistency or reject the plea. Those are really the two options that you have. In this case, the appellant repeated the statements that he did not intend to cause damage, which created a substantial conflict that wasn't resolved during the plea inquiry.
And that's the key point. The appellant never retracted his statements about not intending to damage the windshield. And had he sat back, thought about it, and said, you know, Your Honor, as I sit here today and think about it, I did intend to actually damage the windshield, then we would have maybe had a different result here. But that's not what happened. This was brought up multiple times during the oral arguments at CAF, because it would be different if the appellant, you know, later said, I understand, as I reflect on it, you know, I didn't break the windshield, but that didn't happen here. And so the CAF was left with what was in the record of trial.
And I think that's going to be one of our takeaways, Kali, also for defense counsel to understand how this applies, because maybe when that is happening, making sure that they recognize the issue and they can take that tactical pause and ask the court for recess to go and explain the client consequences of the statements that he's making and perhaps change the language and maybe come back and say, Your Honor, you know, after consulting with counsel, I now understand and I did intend to break the windshield. It is also worth mentioning that Judge Sparks dissented in this case, arguing that the military judge properly used the permissive inference to establish intent. Judge Sparks pointed out that the intent can be inferred from the natural and probable cause of an action. And appellant agreed that damaging the windshield was a logical consequence of his action.
Yes, and Judge Sparks also appropriately focused on the standard of review here, which is an abuse of discretion standard. And he stated that the record just did not support a substantial basis in law and fact for questioning the plea, and that's the standard. But at the end of the day, the majority of the court did not agree with that position. So, Lynn, we've kind of talked about takeaways for the field throughout, kind of practice points, but is there anything else that we should provide as a takeaway to the field?
I think in a summary, number one, that charging decisions are important. Understand, why are you charging? Do you have any other options? And also talking to your teammates and your peers as you're doing this is a team effort, right? Military justice is a team effort. Do you have any other ideas? And opening the book, as James Barrett always says, open the book, open the book, look at all of the other options, right? Do we have any lesser included offenses that might be easier to prove? Because once you put something on the charge sheet that requires specific intent, guess what? You have to prove it.
Right.
And I think the second one, do not expect to be able to draw a permissive inference through a plea colloquy. And I think this is very important for both the government and the defense. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, you have to make sure you do your due diligence. And I think, Kali, you were mentioning earlier, do not expect the military judge to do your homework.
Right. Absolutely. You can't expect a military judge to do all the work. You need to come in to that guilty plea prepared, both sides completely prepared, and understand every element of the offense.
The third takeaway will be that the stipulation of facts can greatly assist you in the prevalency inquiry process, right? So if you have a stipulation after looking at the elements of the offense that you're going to have that accused admitting to all of the elements of the offense, make sure you have your intent there and you're laying it out and you explain to the defense counsel, hey, this is what we think as far as intent. I think we're going to be good, especially after U.S. v. Saul.
Absolutely. And a stipulation of fact is not required, but it can be very helpful.
It can be very helpful. Make your life easier.
So I definitely think that's something to consider. Completely agree with all of your takeaways. So, well, military justice friends, that's all we have for today. Thank you, Major Rivera, for joining me on the podcast today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode or if you want to discuss this opinion further, just reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And until then, we'll see you for the next episode of CAF Chats.
See you then.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General or the Department of the Army or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. Court will stand in recess until further order of the court.